going to stay down here if I can. It's good to be able to present to you and share with you the ministry that the Lord has given to us. You've been so kind. Every time after I do a presentation like this, I said, they're never going to have me again. One of my weaknesses is PowerPoint. I don't interact very well with PowerPoint, and every time I go way over. It's a disease I have. So we're going to try to keep it short tonight. We actually have a couple things planned, not only a presentation of our ministry in Peru, but I want to introduce a brother to you, Pastor J.P., who has recently joined the mission, and we'll tell you a little bit about that and what he's going to be doing. And he's actually come tonight, and Katrina, and he's going to be sharing a short testimony with us a little later in the service. So I'm excited about this evening's service. I'm glad the elders gave me the time to be able to do this, and just thankful for that. A team of nine went to Peru. This is our team. If we can dim the lights a little bit, it'll help us see. But we went to Peru in August. It's been a while. In August, for 2.5 weeks, to serve in Peru, and you can see the little dots there are the areas where we served. In the southern part of Peru, along the jungle section, not the mountains that you saw, but in the jungle section. As soon as we arrived in Peru, we knew something was wrong. Number one, we had a long layover in Lima. We were there and tired for about 9 hours before our next flight went out from Lima to Puerto Maldonado. And then we arrived in PM, I'll call it PM from now on. We arrived in PM and found one of our bags was missing. And it happened to be a very important bag. It was the bag that had the compressor, the dental compressor. The dental compressor is useful for cleaning, for fillings, and cutting teeth. If there's a rough extraction, Jack will use that to cut teeth sometimes into little pieces so that he can take it out one chunk at a time. And anyhow, we found this piece of equipment missing. It's about $3,000. We don't know where it went missing. So for the next week, while we're in PM, before we do our ministries in the jungle, we're in PM doing ministries, we're praying and asking the Lord to send the compressor. And each day we check with the people at the airport trying to find out how we can get this compressor, and to no avail. So we never actually had the compressor the whole time, which limited Jack to doing extractions and cleanings. We did have one handpiece that we could use for doing cleanings, but we couldn't do any filling. So that was not a big deal because many of the people we'd seen, they needed extractions anyhow. So our team members here, if I can just introduce you, Dr. Jack, of course, you know him. And one of his in-training people, this is Nicholas Hodge. Most of you know Mr. Hodge was here to speak. This is his son. You can see Nick here. I think Dr. Jack is assisting Nick, not vice versa. Mike Vetter, who is our Latin America rep, they're doing registration. This is in an interesting town. The town is called Infierno, which in English means what? What? Inferno. Inferno, or it's also the word for hell, right? So I kept telling my wife, we're going to hell tomorrow. And I could say it without, you know. Mary Chase is our dental hygienist, has been with the mission for a number of years now, actually going on 2 years. And thankful for Mary. She was able to clean a lot of people's teeth. And this is Dr. Chuck. Dr. Chuck is a family practice doctor from Rural Retreat, Virginia. And his wife, Joanne, is a nurse. And they came along to work with us. Alicia is from Merrimack Valley Baptist Church, studying at Pensacola. She was one of our nurses. And then Melita Scott is from Trinity Baptist Church up in Concord, also a student, a nursing student. And so we were glad to have them. These were the missionaries that we were working with. Buddy Fitzgerald, we had just hung this sign. He was so proud of his sign as we hung it there. And his wife, Lorraine, and they have two children. And they are working in PM. Their goal, this is PM, Puerto Maldonado, you can see the airport that we came into, and this is where they live here, and their goal in this area is to reach a number of villages in the jungle, but even more than that is to reach unreached people in the jungles along the border of Peru, Bolivia, and Brazil, so in these jungles. And that's their desire. In order to do that, in order to reach these villages, this is their church, they have to get out into some of the outlying villages, the villages that are on the edge of the jungle, and get into these villages and get to know the people in these villages and hopefully in the future establish ministries in these villages. And so part of our ministry, we worked in the city, we worked in PM for a week, in various ministries and saw the Lord use that. And then we went out into the second week into these outlying villages. And some of them, the biggest difficulty was getting to these villages. But we went to these outlying villages to hold clinics in order to build relationships and to establish in these small localities friendships and eventually Bible studies and hopefully churches that will help the contact of the Fitzgeralds with the unreached people that they are trying to get to. Of course, the greatest goal that we had was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in these places. And we praise the Lord that He used us to be able to do that. Like I said, there were many challenges along the way. You can see the locations. Not only did we work in PM, but we worked in a number of villages. We worked here in Inambari. We worked here. This is Infierno. This is Santa Teresita. This is Palma Real and then Sunina. These were the places that we worked. Probably the most difficult. This one wasn't so difficult even though it's further away. This one is 50 miles from PM to get here to Sunina. It took us, we left at 5:30 in the morning and we didn't get to Sunina till 6 PM. Well, some of us got there at 6 PM. The whole team never got there. But most of our team made it by 10 o'clock in the evening. Just a little crazy. This is a river, the Madre de Dios. It feeds eventually into the Amazon River. And we took a boat from here. We had to get up. We got up 5:30, got to the docks, tried to find a boat, finally found a boat, acquired the boat. 5 hours downriver. Took us 7 hours to go back upriver, actually more than that, to go back upriver. 5 hours downriver, we get here. There's supposed to be motorcycles that are going to take us from here to Sunina. And we get there, and there's no motorcycles. And so what we end up doing is part of us end up walking the 9-mile jungle trail, and Dr. Jack and some of the other ones waited for the motorcycles. Eventually the motorcycles came and would take them to Sunina. We got there. Like I said, we all arrived there late at night without our tents. And at least we had a meal. We had ramen for supper. That was great. And the next morning we did clinics for just a couple hours, really. It wasn't very long, a very small village, not very long. Did clinics for a couple hours. And it really seemed to us like, why did we come all this way? It was a lot of effort expended. Why did we come all this way for such a short interaction with the people? And we don't know how the Lord is using that. We obviously know that the Fitzgeralds will continue to be in this village, and they have over the years. And we're just praying that the Lord will continue to use that. Of course, like I said, the greatest purpose here is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can see Buddy and Victor there sharing the gospel. Just some other scenes as we come to the docks to take our trip. I already jumped ahead of myself. Here's some of the boats that were available, the one we finally got. Here's a jungle trail through the jungle, kind of interesting. I was alone for 2 hours on that trail. Everybody else had been taken by motorcycle. That was kind of fun. But that's not the worst, because Chuck, Dr. Chuck, he was alone at night on that trail for about an hour. But you can see some of the trails. But why do we do this? So we can proclaim Jesus Christ and share Him. One of the girls, this is an interesting story I'll share with you real quick. One of the girls, we didn't have our tents, right? And so we took that verse from Luke, you know, where the guy has company and he comes to his friend and says, I don't have any bread to give my company. I don't have any food to give my company. He goes to his friend and tries to wake him up at night and says, please give me bread so I can feed my company. And what does the friend say? Go away. I'm sleeping. My kids are in bed, right? It's 11 o'clock at night and we don't have tents, and we're saying, I'm not sleeping in the mosquitoes. So we say, all right, we got to go around to the villagers and we got to ask for mosquito nets. We got to see if we can get mosquito nets. So 11 o'clock at night, everybody's in their beds, and we're remembering this verse and say, Lord, okay, give us mosquito nets. The Lord provided 3 mosquito nets. We kind of slept. We were woken up to the excitement of this girl, Alicia. She had woken up and she was getting geared in her mind for the trek back. So she had stuck her foot into her shoe and tied it really nice and tight and just got up and stepped around, and it just didn't feel right. There was something not right. So she takes her shoe off really casually, like, what's going on here? And sticks her hand in and pulls this thing out that was in her shoe, and here it was, a pink-toed tarantula in her shoe. The thing was shocked. It had been squished at the end of her shoe, evidently. So it didn't bite her. No harm done. And Alicia survived. So we praise the Lord for the safety. Ministry praises safety. There was a lot of traveling, a lot of different situations, opportunities that Satan could have used, or just things that are beyond our control, that the Lord worked everything out and gave us safety. And we know part of that is because of your prayers, and we're just thankful for that. We almost killed the team, as you can see there. This is on our way back. Everybody's sacked out in the boat. But we praise the Lord that the gospel went out. The Fitzgeralds had not seen somebody come to the Lord, in according to what they said, for almost a year. It had been, I think they said, 9 months that they hadn't seen anybody come to the Lord there in PM in the village. And they were discouraged about that. They had made a number of big evangelistic efforts. They had handed out thousands, I think he said over 20,000 tracts in PM. They were going regularly in the street, on the marketplace, and trying to share the gospel with people, and just had not seen anything. And so we praise the Lord that we were able to come. Their prayer was that the Lord would help, the Lord would bring somebody to Himself through the ministry that we were holding. And we praise the Lord that we did see a number of people make professions of faith in Him. This is Mary Chase, and I thought this picture. The verse, Isaiah 55:11, says, my word that goeth forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. And that is the promise that we rest in. As we go into these places, some of them, like in the Philippines last year, we had a pretty incredible response to the gospel preaching. And you go into some other places like Vietnam, you go into some other places like even Peru, and there's not much of a response, it seems. But we know, we can rest in this, that God's word will not return void, and that our efforts are not vain in the Lord. And so we thank you for your prayers for us. We thank you for the support of this assembly and how wonderful you've been, and just ask that you keep praying. Well, we arrived back in Lima. I'll wrap up where I started. We arrived in Lima, and our first task was, all right, let's find the compressor. We figured it got left in Lima. Let's find the compressor. So we start, we can probably have the lights here start to come up. We start to look for the compressor. I go around to a number of the areas. I go to the LAN, which was the airline that we had flown on. I go to Continental, the other airline, and nobody knows where this compressor went. And we figured, well, we must have lost it at customs where they check your stuff. Maybe we didn't load it back onto the cart. Maybe we left it there. Who knows? Everybody was blaming me, which was the right thing to do. So we're like, all right, Lord, we don't know what we're going to do. We're out of a compressor. That's all right. So we get to the States, and we've been praying about this, and guess what happens? An hour after we got to the States, Jack has he gets to the States and he finds a message on his phone. The day before, Continental had called, and Continental said, the lady left a message. She says, we have your box. We have your piece of luggage. Shall we send it to the mission? Shall we send it to the address on it? And Jack called and asked him, how did you get it? Where did it come from? Because it shouldn't have even been at Continental. It should have been at LAN, or it should have been in between. We picked it up from Continental. How did it get there? They have no idea how they got there, but God knew. And just one of those small ways that God works and confirms again to us that He is working and that He indeed is God. Part of what the mission is doing, let me take that back, erase that, because the mission isn't doing it, God is doing it. Part of what God is doing has been directing us into ministries in the past. And as He's directed us, we've seen Him work and start to open opportunities, other opportunities and doors before us. And we are excited for those opportunities and doors that are opening up. And many doors are opening for us in Asia. We have, over the past years, GDM has focused a lot on Mexico, and Honduras was a main focus in the past, and Cameroon has always been a main country that we've served in. But in the past few years, increasingly, more and more, we've been serving in Asia. As we look at our schedule this year, we're looking Asia. We're looking at Micronesia in March. We're looking at the Philippines in May. And then we're looking at Chuuk, which is Micronesia again, in August. We're looking at Vietnam. We don't have an established date yet. But more and more, the Lord seems to be pointing us and having us in that part of the world. And we're saying, why, Lord? Not really. We're saying, why? Because it's much further to travel. But other than that, the ministry opportunities are great. And we're so thankful for that. Emily and I went in June. And I'm just trying to be short here. Emily and I went in June to Guam. And we went as part of a survey trip. The Lord is opening up a possibility in Micronesia to reach 40 islands that don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been on one of the islands, on the island of Fife. Katrina has been on that island with us last year. And we've done a number of clinics there. And the end result that we saw this last year was a church that is established and thriving as part of what God has done through us there and through missionary Paul Zimmer and Mark Zimmer and the nationals who the Lord is using there. And we're excited about that, and we're excited to see that possibly happen on 40 other islands across Micronesia. And that's our desire. And the Lord has started to give us that desire. And there's a search right now for how can we reach these islands. The reason they're unreached is because there's not really an easy way to reach them. So do we reach them by boat? Do we reach them by plane? How do we reach them? Anyhow, in all of this, Emily and I went to Guam as part of, Lord, what would you have for us in the future as well? Not only Micronesia, but the Lord has been working in a great way in the Philippines. And like I say, and in these other areas. And so the idea would be possibly for us to coordinate ministries instead of coordinating them from Burlington, to move over to Guam and to coordinate ministries over, Asian ministries over in Guam. Now, we don't know if this will happen. We're asking you to pray. But as we've been praying, part of what God has done has been to open the possibility for our ministries in the Philippines. And last month, not even a month ago, the board of Grace Dental Medical Missions met together, interviewed Pastor Gerald Paul, and accepted he and his wife as missionaries with Grace Dental Medical Missions. They'll be serving in the Philippines, which is their home, in the island of Mindanao. They are now in Davao, have started a church and are ministering in that church with a heart to reach out to Muslim areas in the Philippines and beyond. And this all sort of fits together with what God is doing through the mission with ministry possibilities based out of Guam, with ministries in the Philippines that the Lord has blessed, and with other ministries that we are focusing in on in Asia. And so it's very exciting to have them be a part of the ministry and to see the Lord expanding the influence of the ministry as He works through us. And I don't want to take more time than I have already, but let me introduce Pastor JP. Before I have him come up, let me introduce Katrina. Katrina, can you stand? Please stand. Now, Katrina Katurin is a nurse. Keep standing. She is a nurse, and I met her 5 years ago in the Philippines. Her father is a doctor, Dr. Katurin, wonderful man, served with Dr. Dreisbach in the Philippines. And Katrina has been with us for a year and a half now as an associate missionary serving with the mission. She coordinated our ministries to the Philippines last year, went with us to Yap, Micronesia, and just praised the Lord for her heart and her desire for mission. So I wanted to introduce you. Why I wanted to have them in is because you're going to be hearing these names, and I want you to pray. I told JP and Katrina, I said, I want to have you here because this is a praying church. This is one of the biggest supporters of our ministry of GDM. I want them to know you so they can pray. So that's why I've tried to arrange this evening. So JP, I'm going to ask him to come up. Go ahead and come up, brother. JP is a pastor. His wife, Johanna, is Katrina's twin sister. All right? Katrina's twin sister, Johanna. Johanna is a medical doctor. Both Katrina and Johanna studied at Bob Jones University. They've been in the States for a long time. JP married Hanna. They've been married for how long, brother? A year and a half? A year and a half now. They just had their son 2 weeks? Not even? Around 2 weeks. All right, about 2 weeks ago, a great excitement in their life, and they are headed back to the Philippines Thursday. So I'm glad to have him up here. He's a pastor. He studied at Davao Baptist Seminary there in the Philippines, a solid seminary. And he has started a church there in Davao. And I'm gonna ask him to come now, brother. Share your testimony with us and where the Lord is leading you as far as ministry is concerned.
Thank you, Brian. Good evening. I am Gerald Paul Pornan, and this is my first time to be in your country, and this is my first time to speak before mostly white people. I preach in the church there in New Jersey, but they are mostly brown people, Filipinos, and this is my first time to be giving my testimony before you. This is also my first time to be exposed to your culture. I meet people first time, and they would say, "Hi, how are you?" We don't do that in the Philippines. You would say, "How are you?" if you are close to the person. So kind of, are we close? But my one person explained to me that's courtesy here. So you respond that I'm good, and you also respond asking him, "How are you?" Okay, so I've been doing that. This is my first time also to be kissed by a woman, hugged and kissed by a woman that I, haven't met before. I mean, we just enjoyed the conversation, and then when we said goodbye, she hugged me and she kissed me before her husband. And my wife is by my side. I was kind of, I was shocked. And when we went back home, I asked her, "She kissed me, right before her husband, right before you, my wife." And she said, "Oh, that's culture here. if they appreciate you, something like that, that's how they express their appreciation of your friendship, something like that. So don't mind it. It's the culture." Okay, so okay. So I kind of, you have weird culture here in the U.S. When we meet women there in the Philippines, you say, "Hi, how are you?" And that's all. If she doesn't extend her arm to shake hands, you don't shake hands. But that's our culture there. And I have to orient myself to the culture of the U.S., Well, that is what a missionary is. He should know the culture of the people and learn to adjust and live with that culture. I thank the Lord for you Americans. You were the first missionaries who came to the Philippines and brought the gospel to us. I grew up in a church that was planted by a missionary doctor who came from the States. Dr. Thomas, and I praise God for you. You sacrificed your lives. In our island, in Panay Island, there were several missionaries who gave up their lives for the sake of the gospel. And I thank God for you people. That church is thriving, and that church is a missionary sending church. And because of your work in our country, I am here today. I knew the Lord Jesus Christ through that church, and I am here today to extend my thank you to you. I was born in an unbelieving family, but later on my mother got saved, and years after, the Lord saved my father. And so they brought us along with us, their children, to church. And after several years of attending children's Sunday school, children's camp, I eventually trusted Christ as my Savior. One night in my room, I told the Lord, "Lord, I've been hearing that you are my Savior. I've been hearing that you died for me. And I know from your word that if I don't trust you as my Savior, I will be going to hell. You are my Savior." And so that night, when I was 10 years old, I prayed to the Lord. I sat on my bed and prayed to him, "Lord, I also want to trust you as my Savior. I want to accept you in my life as my personal Lord and Savior." And that was the time when I had established a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the time he saved me, and I thank him for dying at the cross for my salvation. I began to be serious with the Lord, my relationship with God, when I was 16. I decided that I will meet God early in the morning. After I wake up, I would read His Word and sing hymns to Him, and I'll go to school. And that was also during the time that the Lord started to work in my heart, calling me to missionary work. There was a point that I was so thankful to God because He gave His life to me. He sacrificed His life. He was willing to suffer the cross of Calvary for my sin. I was so thankful to Him that I told Him, Lord, I am willing to serve You. If You want me to serve You full time, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to give up my ambition to You. My childhood ambition was either to be a pilot or to be a scientist. But I told the Lord, Lord, You can take this away, and I'm willing to follow You. And 2 years after, the Lord worked in my heart, reminded me of that day when I told Him, Lord, I am here ready to give my life if You call me to full-time ministry. And the Lord, just through His Word, a kind of impressed in my heart that, Jerophol, I am calling you to work for me. And you have to give up what you're dreaming for yourself and take up your cross and follow me. It was during a prayer meeting in our church that somehow the Lord revealed to me a more specific ministry that I should be doing for his glory, for His kingdom. A pastor preached and he challenged the people that many of the Filipinos, we Filipino Christians, we go out to other countries to be missionaries to countries in Asia, and we forgot about our fellow Filipinos who are Muslims in the southern portion of our country. And he was asking who are willing to go there. And after that, he closed in prayer, and while he prayed, tears started falling from my eyes. And I asked the Lord, Lord, why am I crying? And I told Him, if yes, You're calling me to serve You among the Muslims, I told Him, if You are there with me, if You will go with me, Lord, if Your presence will go with me, I will follow You. And that was why I prayed to God. And several months later, our pastor preached on the love of Christ, His substitutionary death. And when he closed in prayer, suddenly, Muslims, the idea of Muslim people was brought to my mind, and I asked the Lord, Lord, why am I thinking of them? And tears again started falling down my eyes, and I asked Lord, I told the Lord, Lord, yes, if You are calling me to go there and serve You among these people, Lord, because I love You, I will follow You. So these are the very two reasons that compelled me to follow the Lord wherever He would lead me, even serving Him in dangerous places among dangerous people. You know, if the Lord is there, if He's with me, if His presence is with me, that's enough. And the second is because the Lord planted love in my heart, love for Him, and growing love for the lost, that I decided to follow Him wherever He would lead me. And later on, I graduated from the seminary and I pastored a church there who happened to be started by a missionary doctor again, who later was to become my father-in-law, the father of my wife, Dr. Katuran. I served there and wanting to stay there. And that was also during the time when, the Muslims attack, or the terrorist, Muslim terrorists attacked New York, the Twin Tower, and it just, it made me angry against, towards them. You know, I don't like these people. Yeah, they are so violent. They kill people. And I know that the Lord is calling me to serve them, but deep inside my heart, I'm like Jonah. You know, I don't want, like Jonah, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to serve the people there. He told the Lord later, and he said, I knew it, that if I go there and proclaim your message, they will turn to you. And somehow we have the same heart. I just don't like these people because they are violent. And I decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to be a pastor. And I was all set, you know, to be the pastor of that church in Aklan for a long time until I met Hannah, who later on became my wife. Months before we were married, she asked me, what are you planning? I mean, in your service to God, what are you thinking? I told her, well, I want to become a pastor. I want to stay in a church and grow old in that church, serving the people, helping them know the Lord, nurturing them up in the Lord. I want to stay as a pastor. And she told me, okay, because I've been praying for a man that will also be with me to do mission work. And I know deep inside my heart, the Lord is calling me to do mission work. The Lord have this, put this burden to plant churches in many places, and know deep inside my heart that that's the Lord's calling. But I've been running away. And one time we meditated on Psalm 63, and I want to read this chapter, the first and the last only verse. It says here, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So here David is longing after God. He's seeking the Lord early in the morning. He's thirsting after God. And reading the following verses, it matches the introductory statement of David in this psalm. And at the end of it, in verse 9 to 11, it says here, but those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. And Hannah and I were sharing our meditation on God's word. And we happened to meditate on this psalm. And as I think through it, I kind of, you know, why is verse 8 really, verse 9 to 11 really a part of Psalm 63? Because it doesn't match. He's expressing here his hunger for God and, you know, his devotion to God. And then all of a sudden, in verse 9, he would say, but those who seek my life to destroy it, blah, 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 shall go into the lower parts of the earth, but the king shall rejoice in God. Later on, as I prayerfully think through it, scholars, as I study on this verse, scholars would say that, they have differing opinions on when David wrote this, but some scholars would say that verse 9 and 11 offers the hint on the occasion when David wrote this psalm. David was king, and David was being pursued. And they put it that maybe he wrote this during the time when Absalom, his son, was pursuing to kill him. And I was so amazed thinking of this that, you know, when a person's life is in danger, what he would think first, this is, yes, our instinct, is what? It's self-preservation.
So what will consume your mind is how I would keep myself alive. But this is different with David. When he was put in danger, his first instinct was not to save his life. The longing of David is still for God. He would wake up in the morning not thinking, what do I do to preserve my life? He would wake up in the morning and worship the Lord. And the Lord just, you know, took this verse and like smacked this to my heart. Jeroboam, you've been running away from me. I know that you don't like the Muslim people, and you also somehow wouldn't risk your life for them. I'm willing to die for the Lord, but I told the Lord, Lord, not for these people. But God said that even if I call you to dangerous places, even if I call you to these people, just like David, in times of danger, will you still worship me? And that, like, made me think, will I follow the Lord even if he calls me to dangerous places? Would I still worship God if he calls me to these people? And it really made me think for days. And finally, I told the Lord that, yes, Lord, you died for me. You gave up your life for me. And I should be willing. I should be willing. The last occasion that the Lord really made me to really be decided to serve him among these people was when my sister reported to me when she attended a missions conference in Malaysia. She's now a missionary to Indonesia among the Muslims there. She gave me a picture while we were chatting. She sent me a picture of seminary students holding their diplomas. And they were standing there posing before the camera, but they have serious, like, sober faces. And I asked her, she first asked me, do you notice something in the picture? And yes, they're quite serious. You know, when you graduate, you must be happy. You must be just, oh, yes, I graduated. You throw your graduation hat. But why are they so sober-faced? Why are they so serious? And she told me the reason, because they know that several years later, they too will lose their life for the sake of the gospel. Because students who have been graduating from that seminary, years later, they die being persecuted by the government. And it's so amazing to know that these students who maybe year after year in their first year, they would hear, what, a graduate of this year, he died? And then the next year, the second year, they would keep on hearing news about the death of students who graduate from that seminary. But they kept on studying. They kept on, or they were committed to really finish school and serve the Lord. And the Lord used that to speak to my heart. Look at these people. They are so willing to die for the gospel. And look at you. And that was the last straw. And I told God, okay, Lord, if you're calling me to these people, if I'm going to offer my life, I'm willing. I'm not saying that I will die several years after. And I don't know. I might live seeing my son having his children. But all I know is that when God calls me to be there, I should be there as an expression of love and worship to my Savior. And I will trust him, just like David, that in times of danger, his heart's temper is worship of God. And I am so thankful that the Lord gave me a wife who is missionary-minded. She's a doctor, but she wants to serve the Lord as a missionary doctor. And we are there in Davao serving the Lord. We are planting a church there. We have been prayerful to the Lord. Lord, where do you want to put us as husband and wife serving you? And we know that you have the Muslim people in mind. And he led us there in Davao. Davao is a Roman Catholic, predominantly a Roman Catholic city, but it has a good number of Muslim people. So that's a beginning for us. We will get ourselves acquainted to these people in a safer area, in an area where they don't rule, and hopefully someday we will get to see Muslim people receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And because my wife is a doctor, I believe that one of our ministries is evangelism through medical services. And I know that the Lord will be utilizing Hannah's skills in doing mission work, even in doing evangelism. And the Lord led us to Grace Dental, a medical mission, to partner with them in planting churches wherever the Lord is leading us. So they have the same vision with us. And I came here to the U.S. You know, many people there in the Philippines, they really, it's like a dream come true for them to come to the U.S. Some would be tourists here and they won't return back to the Philippines. They would be illegal immigrants here. But the longer I stay here, you know, the more burden I have for the people back home. It's just like the Lord saying, no, I don't want you to stay here. I want you to go back home and serve me there. So I thank the Lord that I was able to meet Brian, and he offered to me this, he gave to me this vision and asked me if we can work together towards achieving this vision. And I came here because I said, yes, I'm willing to partner with you in doing the work of the Lord. Please pray for us. We will be sending our newsletter to this church. Also, please pray for our family. We will be heading back home on Thursday. Please pray for our baby. He is sick with colds right now, and he will be traveling by plane on Thursday. Please pray that the Lord will make him fit to travel, and pray for our work. Thank you very much. To God be the glory.
You can see, I trust, why we hit it off so well together. I've known JP for a number of years now. We've worked together. He's been part of our clinics the last 2 years and seen the Lord use him to share the gospel with people, and gotten to know his heart and desire for ministry, and was very impressed right from the beginning as to how the Lord is working in his life. And then, of course, his wife, just a wonderful, wonderful believer with, as you heard, a heart for missions. And we are so privileged and honored, JP, to have you as part of the mission, and look forward to what the Lord will do together in the years ahead. There in the Philippines, in Mindanao, which is primarily Muslim, and then even if the Lord would use us to focus on Indonesia. JP will be coordinating our Philippines ministries along with Katrina this year, and so we encourage you and ask you to please continue to pray for him. Psalm 63, let me just close with that as he read it. O Lord, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you.
My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And as we were challenged tonight and encouraged by his own personal testimony, do we praise the Lord? Do we seek his glory? Are we willing to sacrifice our comforts, our ambitions? Are we willing to sacrifice even our health and our family, our lives, for the sake of Jesus Christ? And this doesn't require us to go around the world. It doesn't require us to go to a Muslim nation. It seems like there are plenty of them around here. There was a conference recently about church planting in New England. And you know, we are one of the least unevangelized areas in the U.S., right here in this area. So the Lord has a task for us to do. And the question is, are we willing to yield to his call and to his desire as he calls? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for what you are doing around the world. We thank you that the task of establishing your church is guaranteed by the Savior himself. And Father, that one day every tongue, tribe, and nation, and those people from those areas will bow and will honor you. Father, that we will be with brethren from China, from Myanmar, from Kazakhstan, from Bhutan, from Morocco, these places some of us don't even know that exist. Father, we will stand together in one great company and praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and declare his holy name and the greatness of the sacrifice. For he was slain and has redeemed us to our God. We praise you for that, Lord. Use us here in your precious name. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.